blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 302, the first two stanzas. The Lord unto his Christ hath said, in glory I enthrone thee, till all thy foes in triumph led, their sovereign king shall own thee. 1 and 2 of Psalter 302.
We wish to read from God's precious word from the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews, chapter 1. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Hebrews 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, who hast created us and all this universe wherein that we may dwell, and we may see thy hand in everything that is about us, and we may feel it in everything that is within us. But we have heard out of thy word in these moments that thou hast in diverse ways and manners spoken unto us in times past. Then it has pleased thee also to speak from heaven and to tell unto us what thy will is. And thou dost show unto us from where that we have come, what our misery is, what our creation was. And thou declarest also that great separation between us and thee. O thou givest us also to know how that we may be reconciled to thee again, and who hast even in these last times spoken unto us by thy own Son, O Lord, we have no ears to hear. And we have ears, but we hear not. And we have eyes, but we see not. Oh, that thou may open our eyes, that thou would circumcise our ears, that we might see and that we might hear. Ah, that the dead might hear the voice of the Son of God, and that they which hear might live. Oh, we come up, Lord, in our deadness, and we come up in our guilt, we come up in our filthiness. We come up with ourselves, and we cannot bring anything that is pleasing in thy sight here into thy holy house. O Lord, we beseech thee, wilt thou wash us, and wilt thou cleanse us, and wilt thou renew us, wilt thou make us into a new creature? And thou alone art able to do so, who has spoken unto us through thy Son, and who has revealed thy will through him. Oh, could it be that thou may also take us now by heart and hand, when we may read of all that thou hast done, and that thou mayest fulfill thy own good pleasure in bringing thy church back to thee. But we have no desire for it. O Lord, we need the application this day in thy house of prayer. And we need thy Spirit now to be sent forth. And when thou hast ascended to the right hand of God, oh, that we need thy Spirit to prick us in our heart, that we might cry out under all of our wretchedness and in all of our misery to thee alone who art able to deliver us therefrom. Oh, we have heard it in thy word in these moments. Thy dear Son, thou hast appointed him heir of all things. And Lord, thou knowest that we seek all the things that are here below. We seek the riches that do fly away. Naked coming into this world, naked going out of this world, owning nothing in all of our poverty. But thou hast received the promise of that inheritance from thy own Father. O Lord, all things belong to thee. If we may now be only united to thee, if we may be married unto thee, then we also do become heir of all those things through thy dear and only begotten Son. O Lord, give us eyes to see it, and give us hearts to cry out after it, that we also may see thy beauty in this afternoon. For wretched and miserable creatures such as we are, that we may be delivered from all of our iniquities, from all of our sins, and that we may be washed and made righteous in that blood of the Lamb, and clothed with the robe of the righteousness of thy dear Son, and wherein there will be no spot or no wrinkle, then we can come with a good conscience before our Creator and before our Judge. When we are hidden in that blessed hiding place, when that surety will stand and answer for us, oh Lord, that he has paid the ransom also for our own souls. We need it spoken also in a personal way. Thou hast spoken in the world, and thou hast spoken through thy Son. Speak now, Lord, to our own souls this day. Make it thou personal unto each and every one of us, both young and old. Thou knowest all our life and how that we try to hold on to everything here below, but also to our own life. Lord, thou knowest those that are sick in the midst of our community, in the midst of this world. Lord, care for all the afflicted and the sick ones. Thou knowest also the reason why that we have postponed the commemoration of thy holy supper. It is a means for thy dear people, that it may be to their blessed comfort when thou wilt have those tokens to be set before them in the midst of thy church from time to time. And Lord, we despise them not. Thou knowest our hearts, but thou knowest also all the circumstances. That thou mayst so remember thy church, thou art able, thou hast many means to strengthen also through the preaching of thy holy word. Thou art not bound even to that institution. And thou knowest where that thy church is. Thou knowest, Lord, how little that they can see, how close so often that their eyes are. Oh, that thou may give them a little ray in the darkness, that they may behold thy dear Son in all of his blessed beauty, in all of their own wretchedness and misery, and that they may be given once again to feed and to eat and to drink of that blessed manna that thou wilt give, that bread from heaven, and that thou mayst so feed and the meek might eat and be satisfied. Wilt thou care for us as a congregation, give to the children and the young people desires that are after the true and the living God, and after thy only begotten Son, for in him thou art so well pleased, that we see no beauty in him, and there is no comeliness in him, there is no form in him, and that we should desire him by nature. But wilt thou open this unto us, that our hearts may rejoice to see him, even as thy disciples did rejoice when thou wast risen from the dead, and that we may experience something of the power of thy speaking also in a personal way. Wilt thou care for all the afflicted and the sick ones? Wilt thou also prevent this sickness in the midst of us, and care for us as a community in this way, and that there thou wilt spare lives, and that thou wouldst also give us so to bow before thee under all of thy doings, to acknowledge thee in all of thy ways, and to seek for thy protection in all the way wherein thou leadest each and every one of us here below. Do care for our school. Thou knowest also the classes that must be at home. Wilt thou supply for all the needs of teachers and students together, and do give that also in the midst of all of those labors thy a blessing may be experienced. Remember our theological school a few weeks, and then the curatorium hopes to meet again, and thou knowest the student who must take his exams, the instructors also, one who is sick, care for him, bless the means for his recovery, if it could please thee, and could it please thee also to send men into thy vineyard. O Lord, provide for us. Give us to feel the need of the congregations, the denomination, those that are yet without an under shepherd from week to week, and that thou mayest supply for each one, and that thou may do what seemeth thee good in all things. And wilt thou care for all those that bring thy word? Remember our rulers, our nation. Look on us in all thy mercies, dealing not with us as we so justly deserve. We may acknowledge thee for a little rain upon the earth, Lord. Thou knowest yet what is necessary for the parched ground. Oh, we beseech thee that thou mayest pour it from the skies as thou alone art able to do. Oh, give us to feel our great dependency. And oh, could it be that in all these ways that we may be taught to bow our knees before thee, for thou showest thy power in the giving, but also in the withholding. Oh, that we might know that thou art God, and that we may be brought to turn away from all of our sins and our vanity, and that we may be brought to worship thee and desire to be reconciled unto thee. And look upon us in this hour, Lord. Thou knowest all that we stand in need of to bring and to hear thy word. Strengthen, take away sleepiness, take away all the troubles and the cares of our mind and of this world that can so trouble us as we sit and try to listen in thy house of prayer. And wilt thou give the ability to lay it out in a clear way? And could it please thee to come and to grant an undeserved blessing for Jesus' sake? Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 188 all the stanzas. Make haste, O my God, to deliver, I pray. O Lord, to my rescue make haste. Let those who would harm me be filled with dismay and in their own folly disgraced. 1-4 of Psalter 188. Beloved congregation, how sad was the death of Lazarus. Martha and Mary wept over Lazarus. And when the Lord Jesus did come to them finally, and then they said to him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died." And that is true. But he was not there. But he was not there. And therefore, their brother died. There was no one else that was with Mary and Lazarus who could prevent, with Mary and Martha, who could prevent the death of Lazarus. All the love, all the concern that lived in their heart was not able to prevent Lazarus from dying. Bathsheba could intercede to her son Solomon for Adonijah, but it did not help. It did not help. Why not? Because Bathsheba could not take away the guilt that was lying on the account of Adonijah. Bathsheba could not be surety for Adonijah. Johanan and the son of Kareah could warn Gedaliah. He said, could say to Gedaliah, "Gedaliah, Ishmael is going to slay thee." Could warn him, but it did not help. Why did it not help? Well, because he could not convince him. He did not believe him. And he could not make him. He could not incline his heart to believe him. And therefore, Ishmael was slain. The salvation of the church is not a simple thing. It is very multifaceted. There are many aspects to the salvation of the church that are necessary. And there is not a single one of those aspects that can be missing. Because if only a single one of those aspects is missing, then the church will fail to receive that salvation for their souls. We are a congregation guilty. We are also polluted. We are also ignorant. We are lying under the state, in the state of God's wrath. We are also lying under the state of death. All of these things at once. And so the salvation of our soul is not just a simple thing. And now when the Lord is convicting a man, when he is convincing a man, then the Lord shows him this. Does he understand that all? No. No, but he sees something of it. And he feels something of the magnitude of the plight and that he is in by nature. But now we have heard that when Christ is revealed to these people, then faith, that true saving faith that the Lord is working in the heart of that people, that is finding, it is finding in Him everything, all things that are necessary for their salvation. They see that. they see that immediately, that it is a salvation which is all-encompassing, that there is nothing missing from what that Savior is bringing in order to deliver his people from their sins. And still, everything that is actually contained in that salvation needs to be opened up unto them. And that is often slowly, step by step, that the Lord is giving them instruction point by point, a blessed instruction. So Bunyan brings his Christian into that house of the interpreter, into those different rooms, and we have begun to see some of those things which we continue also in this afternoon hour out of Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 12, which speaks of faith in Christ our anointed. Faith in Christ our anointed. First, why he is called Christ, and second, why his people are called Christians. Faith in Christ, our anointed, why he is called Christ, and why his people are called Christians. So question and answer 31. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in that salvation he has purchased for us. That is why he is called Christ. Second, why his people are called Christians. Question and answer 32, but why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. Faith in Christ, our anointed, why he is called Christ, why his people are called Christians. Why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Thus anointed, what does that mean? That has a symbolic meaning, that is a consecration, that means that a person is set apart when he is anointed, that is something that has an official character. So we read, boys and girls, you know about the anointing of Saul, King Saul. So we read about the anointing of kings, and then we read about the anointing of David and Solomon, and then Jehu. That was done very, very quickly. And then we have also the anointing we read of in God's word, also of prophets. They are anointed, and the priests were anointed. But we also have the furniture that is in the tabernacle that also had to be anointed, the ark and the laver and so on, all of them with a very special anointing oil. Each of these, those kings, those priests, those prophets, and all of that furniture is all a type. It is all a picture that is of one person, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Such anointings are signifying two things. First, that is the appointment to the office, and secondly, the qualification for that office. So we have already heard how that the Son of God has received a name from his Father, that is the personal name of the Son of God. We heard, boys and girls, that is what? That is Jesus. And the name Jesus means Savior. So we have already, even in the personal name of the Lord Jesus, something that is pointing to his appointment. How do we see that? Because that name was given especially by his Father himself. That was not just given by his mother and Joseph, no. But God the Father, his heavenly Father, has given him that name. And he has given that name for a purpose, and thus already, even in the personal name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see something of the appointment of him to his mediatorial office coming into the foreground. But now this afternoon, we hear about the official name of that Son of God, that is Christ. And then we see that emphasis on the appointment of the Son of God coming even more so into that foreground, and that is, congregation, a great wonder. Why is that a great wonder? Well, because that is a great comfort. It is a comfort. Is that a comfort to you? That he was appointed. That becomes a comfort to God's true church, that God has appointed a mediator. And if we run stuck and we run aground with trying to work that salvation out ourselves, well, then you understand that appointment of a mediator is also going to become a comfort unto us, because God's people cannot begin to save themselves. They certainly try that. Have you tried it too? But they find out, the more they try, that actually they cannot even come to the smallest beginning of this. Do you ever feel this, congregation? And now God, having appointed for such a people, let us look around us for a moment. And we see the whole creation and how that God has provided for everything. There is nothing in the whole world. And now we cry to him in all our guilt and in all of our sinfulness. And then he sends rain from the sky. And now how can that be, that the Lord would not provide everything? Not merely for the sake of his creature here below, but that he would not provide everything that is necessary for the salvation of his lost elect. Thus, in this election, in this appointment, then we see something of the desire of God. And what is that desire of God? That is that he would bring back his people. He would bring them back unto himself. Congregation, do we ever meditate upon that blessed truth? That God desires to have a people that would serve him. Then we look at our own desire. Did that ever become guilt to you? You say, I desire all that is in this world. I desire everything, if I am honest with myself, that is not him, that has not to do with him, that is not spiritual, but I desire that which is carnal, earthly, sensual, and even devilish. Those are all of my desires. And now the Lord desires. The Lord desires a people. He desires to have them in communion with himself. He has decreed that from eternity, and the fall has not upset this, no. And that fall that has, that is only a means in his hand to fulfill the desires that have been living in him even from that never begun eternity. But now this anointing that is not only signifying the appointment of that mediator, it is also signifying the qualifying of this mediator. Thus, not the divine nature, because the divine nature cannot be qualified any more than it is. It is qualified. But that human nature that was qualified by the Lord, that was given the gifts that were necessary for him to fulfill what the Lord had placed upon him to do. That is true of everyone. That the Lord calls and that the Lord sends into his holy ministry. That the Lord is appointing them. And when there is that appointment in truth, then the Lord is also working that out in a practical way. And he is giving also in the hearts of others to see and feel that. He is bringing that to fruition. And then he is bringing also that they receive the gifts that are necessary to do it. Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, I cannot speak." He says, "For I am a child." And the Lord said to him, "Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to whomsoever I shall send thee. And whatsoever thou I shall give thee to say, that thou shalt speak." And now John the Baptist, we know that he has gone before the Lord Jesus and he has pointed to the Lord Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world." And John the Baptist has also said of him, "He whom God sent speaketh the words of God, and that God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." So what is that, boys and girls, to measure? If you watch mother and she is in the kitchen and then she is going to make some cake and then she just measures some. Has to be just the right amount, not too much, right? A measure. And now what does John the Baptist say about the Lord Jesus Christ? That God his Father has qualified him and he gave to him the necessary gifts, but he did not measure them out. No, that he gave them to him without measure. That is, he gave them to him in a perfect abundance. That he was fully able to carry out that great work that is necessary in the salvation of the souls of his people. Thus our fathers say he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost. Not with oil, we don't read that in the Word of God. No, he is anointed not in a temporal way, but he is anointed with the divine, with a heavenly anointing. And we can see when he was baptized that the Holy Spirit came upon him. And now we read that that is giving to him gifts. Gifts that are necessary to do this great work, a greater work than any man in the whole world is able to do. No, Bathsheba cannot do it. Mary and Martha cannot do it. Johanan the son of Korea cannot do it. Because Though they may do something, yet they do not have all of those gifts. That they are able to bring about that full salvation for a people who are guilty, who are polluted, who are ignorant, and who are lying under wrath, and who are also lying in that state of death. Thus, by this anointing, then the Father has both appointed him and he has qualified him with three offices. Our children know that: prophet, priest, and king. And every one of those offices is now necessary to deliver us. Feel that? Is that not a wonder? It's not one office, not two offices, but three offices. Everything that is necessary for us. Can you not do it? Can you not deliver yourself from your own sin? Here now is the declaration. It is such a beautiful Lord's Day. A declaration of the anointing of the Son of God and everything that the Lord is giving unto him in order that he may do and accomplish and finish the work that is so necessary for us and for our dear children. Three offices, there were many that were anointed king, priest, or prophet, but never all three in one. Melchizedek was both a king and a priest, but he was not a prophet. And thus we say, there is no one else. Thus, the name of Christ testifies that God has both appointed and anointed him that he may have everything that is necessary. Everything. That is all in one person. You know what that means? He doesn't need any help. He doesn't need any help. No, it is not like there are two people, then we need a king and we need a priest and we need a prophet. No. But we need only this one person. Not anyone in the world is able to help him. He does not even need your help. You believe that? Say, but I have to believe, right? Do you think he needs your help with that? He does not need your help with that. You know why he doesn't need your help? Because we read in God's word he has a willing people in the day of his power. And if I said to you, it all now depends, you know, you just have to believe. That's all. That's all. Then there are people here that will go out that door. They say, hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. It is impossible for me to be saved. You feel that? Because congregation, we hear all kinds of things. Young people, we hear all kinds of things. And sometimes that makes us so afraid. What is happening? What is happening now within our own denomination to our young people? What do you believe? Do you believe that you are dead? Or do you not? Or do you not? Do you cry to him who is able to give to you new desires, a new heart, a new dispensation? Or do you think, like is being said all over it seems, do you think that that is now just something that I have in a natural way to do? And that that is not, as our fathers say in our canons, a supernatural work of God. And that that faith is not a gift of God. Then you deceive yourself. And we say to you this afternoon, if you do not believe that, that you deceive yourself. And that you will stand before that judgment seat of God, we warn you, at a closed door, expecting to enter in, and that you shall not be able, because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Ghost to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. That is the first office. That is the office of prophet. Thus those officers sent by the chief priest to take him, and then they came back again, and the chief priest said, where is he? They say, never man spake like this man. That is now the opinion of those who were carnal. Never man spake like this man. We know that Christ has instituted a ministry, the Old Testament, the prophets, the priests, the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and that he has given that also in the New Testament, evangelists, teachers, ministers. He has inspired also the Word of God. By that word we read our fathers say he fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning redemption. We could not know that by the creation, but God spoke to us, the Apostle Paul wrote. We heard that, right? He spoke to us. Is that not a wonder? Congregation, how many people here? How many people have ever from that word of God once said in your life, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. All that word that has entered, that has come, it has come with power. It has come with conviction within my heart. We are so ignorant, congregation. We are so ignorant. No one can teach us after the fall. Who can teach a sinner to seek God? Can you teach that to your parent, to your children, parents? Can you teach that to them? You can tell that to them to do that. You say, I feel so helpless. I cannot teach them to seek after God. No, you can't. I can't do that either. Because hell, by nature, doesn't frighten us. And heaven does not draw us. You ever feel that? You ever say, ah, I sit in the house of God and I am so hard. So wretched and so miserable that there is nothing of that, all of that preaching, the reading, there is nothing that is able to touch my heart. We don't even know, we don't even feel, our fathers speak about here concerning our redemption. I say, I don't even feel my need for it. I don't even feel my need for it. That is the way that I go over this world. That needs to be opened to me. That needs to be revealed to me. Thus can fallen man be without this instruction of this high priest? No, that is impossible. And there is none, not a minister, not a parent, not a friend, that is able to teach us this except for this great prophet and teacher. This prophet and teacher opens to a man something of his depravity. Did he ever open it to you? And if he opens it to us, who is now able to reveal unto us the way of deliverance? No one can do that either. Just see such a man. Ah, and you can say to him, Abba, Jesus Christ, he died for sinners. And you are a sinner. Ah, you cannot. Oh, and that is the Lord's work. You cannot, congregation, touch that people. It is, our fathers call it, the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption. And secret it is, and secret it remains until this prophet and this teacher is opening something of that. He has opened it in his word, yes, but he needs also to open it unto us in our heart. Daughters of Jerusalem, they said to the bride, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? They did not see it. They're blind to it. It is not yet open to them. Oh, those poor Israelites. They are a congregation under bondage. What did they know? They knew work. Work. Work to do what? Save our life. Prevent ourselves from death, to deliver ourselves from the wrath of Pharaoh. See, people, there is deliverance. It's through the sea. It's through the sea. What could you say of that to that people? They didn't know anything about that. You cannot teach that to them. How must they learn that? Well, the Lord, he has to bring them there. That's the only way. He has to take them by the hand, and he has to lead them to that place where he is going to make them to despair of themselves. They don't know how beforehand. You could never explain it to them. But the Lord brings them there. And the Lord makes them to do it. And the Lord brings them down by a true faith into that sea. There you have it. There is that prophet. There is that teacher. He does not only teach them in the mind, no. He is leading them, each and every one, into the salvation that he has purchased for his own church. As this prophet leads into that secret counsel and will of God concerning their redemption. Do they know who is doing that? No. No. They don't know what is happening to them. They only go through it. Neither do they agree with it, because it is so against their flesh. They resist it. Pretty soon they're going to sing. As on the other side of that sea, let us sing 292, 3, 4, and 5. Wandering in the wilderness, far they roamed the desert way, found no settled dwelling place where in peace secure to stay, till with thirst and hunger pressed, courage sank within their breast. 3, 4, and 5 of 292. Thank you. and to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, our only high priest. And what does a priest do? You say he sacrifices. And what does a regenerated man do? He sacrifices. You know that life? You know that life? You say, I'm going to sacrifice everything. Because if the Lord gives you a new heart, boys and girls, then you want to give up everything for him. Say, that is not nice for your flesh, no, but you are ready to do it. You are ready to do it. For the love that lives in your heart to him, then you want to sacrifice everything. Our only high priest. God the Father has appointed and qualified him for those offices. Now you. You ruined everything. And you have no appointment. And you have no qualification to give sacrifice that may be meet and acceptable unto the Lord, to be our only high priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us. That is, congregation, what saving faith finds in him all things necessary to their salvation when everything else has now fallen away. Here's now the declaration. And in that declaration lies the gospel that is preached unto the poor. Jeremiah writes, in his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. What did he sacrifice? You say he sacrificed his very life. And that is necessary. Will you go that far? You who desire to sacrifice everything for him. Is that in your heart? You want to give your life to? Your life to? Even unto death? Say, no. That is what I cling to. That is what I want to save. I want to save my life. You will not go that far, will you? No. But the wages of sin is death. Our only high priest. Sacrifice of that high priest is powerful for intercession. That is the second work. Say he sacrifices a priest, and a priest also has to pray. Right, children? He has to intercede for other people. He has to pray for their soul, for their case unto God. What did the Lord say to Joshua? When Joshua was laying on the ground, praying to God, and then God said to Joshua, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Get thee up. Get thee up. Say, why? Should Joshua not pray? You know what the Lord said? Israel hath sinned, Joshua. Israel hath sinned. And you may shed for Israel an ocean of tears. Will not help. Will not help. Because Israel hath sinned. And thus, one thing is now necessary here. And what is that? Blood. Blood. Not just tears, Joshua. Why did the Lord slay Nadab and Abihu? Say they offered strange fire before the Lord. What was that strange fire? It was fire that was not taken off. So when they had to go to the altar of incense, and they put incense on coals of fire, and that did send up that smoke, that cloud of incense that was prayer to God, that God would hear. Where did those coals have to come from? They had to come from the altar of burnt offering. But they didn't take them from there. So the wrong basis, it was the wrong basis for the supplications. The basis had only to be that one sacrifice. The Lord instructed his people already in the Old Testament, the same that he instructs us today, that there is but one sacrifice, and the Lord has taken away Nadab and Abihu because they attempted to offer up an interceding prayer as it was to God upon that wrong foundation. That is the only high priest. And it is only with this blood that that high priest was enabled to go into that holy of holies and not be struck down by God. Only with that blood. And also to be our eternal king, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in that salvation that he has purchased for us. Thus, government and defense and preservation. That is the work of a king for his subjects that cannot govern, defend, and preserve themselves in that salvation that he has purchased for them. Government, what is that? That is to direct to a certain end, to bring that end, the purpose of God, to pass. The church needs to be governed. Why? What did Jacob say? He said, all these things are against me. All against me. How is he going to go to Egypt? For the fulfillment of the counsel of God and the promise of God, and to bring everything to that end, all these things are against me. And thus the government. So against the flesh of Jacob, against your flesh too. That's why we need to be governed. That's why we need a governor. Because everything goes against our flesh, and if it was in our hands, it would never happen. It would never be fulfilled. But now this governor, this king, he will make it happen, people of the Lord. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree with the way or not, then he will lead us in that way. And it will all be, though it is against our flesh, and though that we grumble and that we complain about it every day again, the Lord is going to bring his own purposes to pass. Defense, they need that too. Could David defend himself from all the satanic influences within the hearts of men that tried to destroy him and the afflicted and the poor that followed him? And can the true church of God preserve itself in that salvation that he has purchased for them? What did the apostle Paul say? He says, there is a law in me. He says, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Ah, he cannot finish it. He cannot preserve himself in that own salvation that God had begun in him. That king, the work of the king is so necessary. Not just the prophet, not only the priest, but also that work of the king is necessary. Otherwise, the church is not going to reach the end that the Lord has destined for them. There are enemies without them from which they need to be defended. And there is a corruption that is within them from which they need to be preserved. And then it is a wonder indeed that the Lord even says that they shall be called by my name, that is Christians, for everything that remains still within that people. And yet the Lord will have it so. Why? Why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. First, in Antioch we read they were called Christians. That is not a name that was given to them by God, like God has given unto his son the name of Jesus. No, that was given to them by strangers. That was given to that church by enemies, identifying them with Christ. Ah, they are Christians. And yet, it was in God's providence. And it is in God's providence a name that that church has taken a delight to take unto itself. You'd like to do that too? Say, I'm a Christian. You say that sometimes, young people? I'm a Christian. But when do you say it? When did they say it? The church delighted to take that on themselves. And that was not a time of freedom. No, that was a time of great persecution. That was a time that was very dangerous to be called a Christian and to be associated with Christ. So it was a very different thing for them to accept such a name upon themselves in that time than it is for us to take such a name upon ourselves in our days. But now, in his overruling providence, the Lord has carried out his own decree, that is, tried and afflicted church may be called by his own name. Bearing that name, that is, congregation, a great comfort to that true church of God. It is a comfort to them in their afflictions, because that name tells about a unity, a union that is between Christ and their head. Christians, what does that mean? That they are members of Christ, that they are members of his body. Everything that they are called to suffer in this world, that is only a following. It is a following after him who has gone before them through this world in that way of suffering. And by that name, Christian, that church is also bound together, because they are now all called by that one name and joined together in that same tribulation, in the same tribulation of that true church of God. And that is why the apostle, he said, be ye of the same mind, of the same mind. What an awful thing for those who are bearing the same afflictions to be arguing with one another. But then Moses went out to his suffering brethren. There they were. They were both men together suffering under the afflictions that the Lord had placed on them. And now they are arguing. And Moses said to them, Why smitest thou thine enemy? No. Why smitest thou thy fellow? Because you are men, you are brethren. He says, of that same house, this name that is testifying our fathers say of those offices, Christ, right? Prophet, priest, and king. And when that name is also in God's providence given unto that church, then there is something our fathers say they are partakers of his anointing. Thus, as he was anointed, so are they anointed. Then they also bear, as it were, those three offices themselves. And of course, not like he bore them, but in a certain resemblance, they say that so I may confess his name. That is to be a prophet. How do they confess his name? What do you think, young people? What do you think? Say, well, we go out and we speak. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with that. But I would like to ask you this question. Does your life speak? Because we can speak with our mouth, and our life says something else. Do you know what it means to confess his name? That means that we are of the same spirit. The same spirit as he was. And when we are of that same spirit, then there is a confession that goes not just out of our mouth, but that goes out from our whole life. What was now that spirit? Do you know what the Lord Jesus said before men, before the heathen? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. Is that our spirit? That is now how that the true church professes his name. And that may be seen then in their whole life. That there is now people that all that is in this world that doesn't matter. But that there is now one thing. Ah, how short we come in that. Isn't that so? Say, can that be seen now by everyone? Everyone who is called a Christian. Can that now be seen by the whole world? That we want nothing to do with the fashions of the world. Can that be seen in your dress, congregation? Can that be seen in our lifestyle, in the things that we want to do, in the places, young people, we want to go? Say, that people, how can the world see that this people is different? And how can it be that they would be drawn? Do you know that those people that are in the world, they also feel an emptiness? Believe that? Every one of them. Because that world cannot make them happy either. And now when they can see something, a testimony of the people who are called Christian, and what do they now have? Why do they now turn their back to all of this that we are seeking with our whole heart? What is it that they have? Is there a testimony then that is going out from us and of our children, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him? You say, I thought you just said that all of our sacrifices are of no merit. I did. And that is true. And now we hear about sacrifices. That is right. And this congregation are sacrifices that have no merit. Not one penny. Our fathers say they are sacrifices of gratitude. Sacrifice is painful. You know that, boys and girls? Do you ever have to sacrifice anything? Because if your mother and father, they say, children, I know you see that in the world. And those boys and girls may do that. But we may not do that. We know better. That's painful, right? Because your heart and your flesh wants to do that too. And then you say, well, I have to sacrifice. So a sacrifice is painful. And if we endure some pain, right away, what do we want? Well, we want some merit for that, don't we? Some merit. We want some reward for that, don't we? And now these sacrifices, they are without merit. They merit nothing. Everything for that people has been merited. It is simply a sacrifice of gratitude. It is an acknowledgement that I give all of that that my flesh desires simply because of what he has done for me. And finally, our fathers, they say, and also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. That is, congregation, the kingly part, and a kingly part that is warfare. Thus, this is now the warfare of the church, that they are called to fight in that kingly office that the Lord has bestowed upon them. And not only so, but now submit themselves. To submit themselves unto him as king. Whatever that he demands, that I relinquish in this life, that I am now willing to submit themselves, because the head, that is now what governs the body. Does your arm, children, you have arms, right? Do they complain when your head says, I'm going to do this or that? And well, your arms, they are just ready, right? And your feet are ready too. And if your arms would complain against the head, you say, well, then you don't get it finished, do you? No. No. And now the Lord says the members of the church, they all must be in obedience to the head. And then they may go forward in such a way. And now, still in this life, that flesh and sin is not yet subdued by that kingly office, because that warfare that is still raging, that warfare that is still going on, but congregation, the victory, that is now so sure. Paul says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. Then a time is coming when all the enemies, sin, Satan, world, and everything that comes against that church is all going to be subdued. And then the church is going to reign with Christ. O congregation, what do we know about faith in him who is called Christ that is anointed? Did faith ever find any of these things? I do not say all of these things, because it is slowly, step by step, that the Lord is leading his church into this room, into that room of the house of the interpreter. But the Lord is instructing his children in these blessed mysteries. And then there is so much hope and there is so much comfort for a people who are destitute of every hope and every expectation in ourselves or in someone else. Ah, come. To come unto this blessed throne of grace. To him. To him who is called Christ. Who is called the anointed one. Who has everything. Everything that a poor and a wretched and a miserable sinner needs, he has it all. You do not need to bring anything along with you. Just as if you say, Lord, here I will help you along a little with this or that. No, that is an offense to him. He says, I am appointed and I am qualified by my Father to save a sinner. Like you. Nothing. My hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, remember me. When thou comest into thy kingdom, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thy way is so easy, but so impossible to bring ourselves to hang upon that cross and to see that salvation that thou hast bought for thy church. O Lord, lead us then. As that great prophet, as that great priest, as that great king, reign over us, become too strong for us, and bring us in our guilt and in our wretchedness to cry to him who has been appointed and who has been qualified by thee thyself. Oh, that it might be pleasing in thy sight. When we could leave everything behind and come to thee as a naked and as a wretched and as a poor sinner. Be with us further in this day. It is thy holy day. Give to us a little contemplation, a little blessing out of thy heavenly store upon all thy words of truth. Keep us in the week that is before us, that is now begun. Spare from sickness. Spare from a sudden and an unprepared death. And teach and lead us in all the ways of providence over which thou art, into all thy truth and into thy salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 200, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea, earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. The first three stanzas of Psalter 200. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.